Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. A little Heartland music there bringing us back from John Mellencamp. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out the poll question, too, right there on the homepage. And check out the new video. We've got a brand new one up this week, so check it out, too. All the other things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including the work that we've conducted with Nicole Galinas, our guest this half hour. She is the Searle Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor, City Journal. She's the author of After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. That's exactly what I think we've got to do, folks. And Nicole and I have talked about this before. Nicole, in the previous segment, we were talking about, you introduced us to what we all know is happening, and that is that the intrusion of the government, being, whether it be in Europe or whether it be in the United States or wherever, the intrusion of the government into the operation, the mechanism, the decisions, and the resolutions of the marketplace. And we've seen it on a number of occasions. The housing meltdown that we had here in 2008 that created this great recession, every bit of that can be traced back. If you want to find the headwater, the seed of that whole problem, it was federal government policy, wasn't it, Nicole?
Well, it's not so much housing policy as it is the policy towards the financial industry.
Well, I was talking about the Community Reinvestment Act is one of those examples. I mean, that goes back to the 70s. It got beefed up in the 90s, and it created a lot of the problems that we have.
Well, I didn't use that in my article, so I'm not, I'm not as up on that. But I would say that since the 1980s, the U.S. government made it very clear: if you are a bondholder in a large financial institution, you're going to get a bailout if something goes wrong. The term "too big to fail" it entered the financial industry's vocabulary back in 1984 with the government saving the bondholders to Continental Illinois Bank. Ever since then, you knew if you were a bondholder in a company like Citigroup, Bank of America, not to pick on those ones, but any large financial institution, including Fannie and Freddie, you would get a bailout.
And you believe that what should have happened was what?
Well, I mean, way back in the 1980s, we should have made it very clear. If you invest money in a company that goes out of business, or it should go out of business, you'll take your losses. You're not going to be right.
And the market if you run a failing business, the marketplace and the government will let you fail.
Sure. If you're back in 1984, for example, if the Reagan administration, if Paul Volcker, if Treasury Department back then, the FDIC, if they let Continental go bankrupt, bondholders would have seen, I better be careful in investing my money. And that would have made these financial institutions smaller, because basically we subsidized lending to financial institutions. What happened? Well, what happened is the natural thing. Financial institutions got bigger and bigger and bigger.
So you think the size of these companies, you think these companies got bigger and became too big to fail because of the implied government backing?
Sure, and you had a crisis that was caused by what? It was caused by too much lending and borrowing.
Right.
Who borrowed too much money? Financial industry borrowed way too much money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it quadrupled its borrowing as a share of the economy between the 80s and the crisis. What did the financial industry do with that money? It lent it right back to Americans through the housing market and through the consumer debt market. So not a creation of the free market, it's a creation of government policy. Government wants people to borrow and lend more money, and that's exactly what happened.
And somebody might say, well, what was the motivation of the government to do this? Well, it can all, to me, it can all be traced back to to trying to get certain constituencies to vote for them. And the way to do that is by making, you know, by being able to fulfill promises that created artificial circumstances in the marketplace, and motivating the financial organizations to fulfill those promises through, as you said earlier, through lower lending standards, higher, more financial products that weren't justified, that kind of thing.
Sure, and you know, if you're talking about certain constituencies, if you mean the average middle class person who wanted to feel like a rich person, mm-hmm. with the value of his house going up and up, that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of constituents. I mean, there could have been the group that you just mentioned. Could be minorities. It could be corporations. But the point is it comes back to politicians trying to use the marketplace as a way to fund their reelection.
Yeah, and you know, this did not happen because of minorities. This happened because the government wanted the normal middle class person to feel wealthier and wealthier in his house. You had, all over the Northeast, you had people making modest five-figure, six-figure salaries, middle class, but buying these 5,000 square foot houses and thinking that they could afford.
But you also had people who didn't have that kind of income at all buying houses. There was a lot of that too. There's a lot of subprime.
But the sheer numbers of those people make them not a crisis for the economy. They can be a crisis for themselves.
Nicole,
and subprime lending.
Hold on to that thought, Nicole. I've got to take a quick break here. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Nicole to put a bow on this, create a solution for this. What would it look like if President Galinas we're in the White House. What would she do to change things? After these messages, 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.